few weeks, probably end of May, we're going to jump into back to the Gospels, Book of Luke. So kind of read ahead, please. Tonight's Bible study's title will be God's Will, the Perfect Way. God's Will, the Perfect Way. Hear me well, please. God's will is terrible. You agree? God's will is terrible against my flesh. God doesn't consider that what I want. God doesn't think about it when I call him because of what I want. He doesn't drop everything and come to my rescue. He has other things to do. He was the least concerned about my wish, which is about 2 miles long. And I used to think that what I want should be what he wants. And it seems that God purposely going against what I want and what I wish to have. How little I knew. What I want is not what God wants. But it should be the other way around. Am I the only one who felt that way? I know you all of you have that godly saint look, and you feel like you make me believe that you never done anything wrong in your life. But if you have a flesh and bone just like me, then you would feel the same way. And you wonder, why, God, are you doing this? Or why are you so late? Why are you not responding to what I pray for? Where am I going with this? Last chapter, in chapter 7, we found out that the people of Israel, children of Israel, attacked Ai, presuming that God wants them to attack, assuming that they will have a victory. However, mere 3,000 people went up against the Ai, they got whooped, they got whipped good. And 36 people of their soldiers got killed, and they tucked their tail between the legs and ran back home like a little puppy. How did this happen? That's the exact question they ask. Joshua asked, and other people ask. We're going to be slaughtered by these pagan people in the land of Canaan. We came here for the promised land. Why do we come here? Just like my 2 mile long wish list, they said, well, we could do this, we could do that, we could be in the other side of Canaan and have all this fun thing. However, God spoke to them because there's a sin in the camp, you are defeated. Once they dealt with the sin decisively, severely, literally, and that's been done, and God is smiling at them back, and extending his mercy and allowing them to attack Ai again. That's what we are going to find out in chapter 8. Folks, as I said many times before, past, you cannot do anything, but there we can learn something valuable from our mistake and our sins. That is one good thing about the past. We should learn something. Make this, write it down somewhere. And hindsight is 20/20. People with a great hindsight learn from their own mistake. People with a better hindsight learn from other people's mistake. Learn it. Past is a good thing, even though you cannot do anything about it. Learn from it so that we don't make the same kinds of mistake in the future. Henry Ford said that about define the mistake as this, an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. I'm going to read it one more time. Mistake is an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. They made a mistake. They assumed God's will. They assumed that because that's their will, they believe that God's will be the same. And so they attack and they were defeated. This time, they are going to do different. Joshua would agree with Henry Ford would say. So now they are approaching to God carefully, prayerfully. That's why we will find that they had a victory. And we'll start the first one. We will stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in seeking your will, not our will. Not assuming that our will should be your will, but we are asking your will be done in our lives. Open our heart to receive your word. Give us wisdom to understand and determination to follow your way, follow your will as ours. We are asking you to guide us in every day of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of the world with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai, its king, as you did to the Jericho and its king. Only its spoiled and its cattle you shall take as a booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Once the nation got back to the grace of God and the mercy of God and the sin, because the sin was dealt with, and they are free. God is extending His mercy, liberty to speak to them, and directing them to the conquest of Ai. No matter what kinds of mistake or the sin we may cause, the worst one we would be the not returning back to God. And the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginning. Victorious Christian life is not something that one time and done with it. It's a series of new beginning. Nobody's perfect. We make a mistake. We cause problem. We sin against God. But we continue to come back to God and lay ourselves to God and the mercy of God, He will continue to forgive us. Lamentation 3:22 says, His mercy renews every morning, His grace, your faithfulness. See, we have to remember, we cannot use up His mercy. We can come back to Him anytime, as long as we repent truly. Discouragement over the past and fear for the future are the two ingredients that will affect us as accompanying a failure. The answer to our discouragement and fear is hearing and believing the Word of God. Even though we don't hear the Word of God in audible voice, as the people often did in the Bible time, Old Testament time, we have the Word of God before us. And we have the Spirit of living God within us as a born-again Christian. Actually, we are in better shape than the people in the Old Testament. They had the law, and given to them, there was no grace. It was a pure judgment, telling them day in, day out, you are a sinner, you are a sinner, you are not doing anything right. However, now we come to God. He forgives us with His mercy and grace. And God will direct us if we wait patiently before Him according to His will, according to His time. Notice that God says to take all the men of war and when they go up against the Ai. Again, Ai represents the flesh, our flesh, fleshly, worldly desire. So with all the resources that we have, all the power, all the strength, all the determination we have to fight against the flesh. Otherwise, if we leave any leeway, if we leave any the area that kind of we can go back, it will come back like a snake. Anytime there is a little opening, snake will come into your house. Instead of having their own assumption that this time the children of Israel coming to God with a prayer and listening to God before they attack the Ai. God gave the soldiers the right to claim the booties and the spoils. The first time when they attacked Jericho, God says no. Why? Because it was first fruit. Remember? First fruit, so they were told not to take anything. Can you imagine if the Achan waited just few more days, he could have as much as he could lay his hands on the spoils, but he couldn't wait. So pay attention to this phrase, please. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. When we run ahead of the Lord, we rob ourselves and we hurt those who are around us. We'll start at the verse, continuing in verse 3. Joshua arose and all the people of the world to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us at the first, as at the first, that we shall flee from before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say that they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them, and then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand, and it will be, when you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you." And Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between the Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. And all the people of the world who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and the camp on the north side of Ai. Now the valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between the Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that were on the north side, north of the city, and then its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. God gave a new strategy, and this time they're going to use ambush against the Israeli people, against the Ai people. God never used the same method. Let me rephrase that. God is not stuck with the same method all the time. He used a different method frequently. Good example is Jesus healing people. There's not one particular way so we can imitate it and thinking that that is some sort of magic spell to make the things better. We try, this is human nature, we try to put the God in our box. It's a good thing that God's name is not Jack, right? Some people get it, some people didn't get it. So, we try to put the God in the box, and somehow God is not doesn't work that way. What we're trying to do is we try to unscrew the inscrutable. God is an infinite God. We cannot comprehend Him completely. God performed a mighty miracle against Jericho. This time, God is not performing the miracle, but God is allowing them to fight against these people of Ai. Joshua and his mighty men, they simply obey God and setting the ambush. And they earn the victory because they obey God. It's important for us to seek God's will for each challenge so that we don't depend on the past victories as we plan for the future. That is so important, folks. We cannot live on our past victory. We have to ask God, we have to depend on God for whatever the new challenge comes to us. We cannot assume that it will go well because it went well so far. how easy for the Christian ministry to kind of dig ourselves into the comfort zone and thinking that we've been doing this for all this time, so God's going to walk through the rest of the way like this. Guess what? That little hole is going to be turned into a grave. And when the people don't change, they become rigid. And when we're through, changes as godly is that we become stale and legalistic. We don't want to change. How many people we've noticed, they don't want to change. They always go to the same restaurant, eat same food, in the same booth, at the same time, and if the menu is changed, they get bent out of shape. And they go to Walmart same time, meet same people, same aisle, eat, picking up the same thing. And they no longer have it, they get upset. Why? Because we tend to be set in the pattern. Folks, improvement and change is a part of life. We cannot stand in still. Water, any wonderful water, pure water, if you put it in one place for a long time, guess what happens? That water becomes bad. Improvement and the change is a part of life, and that's what God is trying to tell us. In the same way, we will sometimes say, the Lord, what is your will? And we ask God his will, but our real intention is not because we want to know his will so we can follow, but we want to know what's in for me and what kinds of risk am I going to take. God is not asking us to kind of check the water and stick our finger in, wet our finger in and stick out in the wind. God is not telling us to do that kind of thing. God is telling us, trust me and follow me. It's been said the condition of the enlightened mind is a surrendered heart. We cannot have an enlightened mind unless we have a surrendered heart. If we want to know the will of God, then we must have a heart that is surrendered and need to present ourselves to Him, accept His will no matter what. This is kind of elaborate way of saying Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by what? Renewing our mind according to what? Word of God. It's simple. Yeah, simple to say it, hard to do it. We continue in verse 14. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw that the man of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people at the appointed place before the plain, but he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all the Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and they fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There were not a man left in the Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. And then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those who in ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the man of Ai looked behind them, they saw it, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on their pursuers. Now when Joshua and all the Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the man of Ai. Then the other came out of the city against them, so now they were caught in the midst of the Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. It came to pass when Israel had made and of the slain all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them. And when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it down the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both man and woman, were 25,000, all the people of Ai, for Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out with the spear, stretched out the spears until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. All the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as a booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it to a heap forever, and desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. As soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that he should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it in at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raised over the great heap of stone that remained to this day. When we do the will of God with a willing heart, there is nothing else for us to desire than because He met all our needs. Again, that's all our need, not all our desires. Once we start doing the will of God with our willing heart, that means we are transformed to His image. That means that it translates to we are no longer looking for what we want. He will grant everything we ask for, because we would not ask for anything fleshly things other than God's will. So when we ask everything according to His will, it is natural for God, Father in heaven, to say yes to all of our prayer requests. Let's go to, keep your finger right there, Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you have this as your favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. If you haven't memorized this, you might want to memorize this thing, because it's such a good verse to have a hope in God. Jeremiah 29:11-12. Jeremiah is right after Isaiah, right before Lamentation in the Old Testament. For I know the thought that I think forward toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of the peace and not of evil, to give you the future and the hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. The idea, the main point of this thing is His will. Call upon me and go and pray to me. Not demanding what we want, but asking God for His will. Now we need to keep in mind this conquest of Ai was not a slaughter of the innocent people. Remember last couple studies I mentioned to you, these people had over 400 years to repent of their wickedness, but they chose not to. They were ungodly, wicked people standing against God's way. And you may say, well, how do you know they had a chance to repent? How do you know that they were introduced to God? Remember Romans chapter 2, the conscience God gave to us. We can obey God's conscience to follow God, or we can ignore the conscience God gave to us. Last time we found another heap of stone was as a memorial of Achan in the last chapter. That was for the cause of defeat. The sin of Achan brought the defeat of the Israeli people. However, this time is a memorial for the victory, the heap of the like a stone grave of the king of Ai. Let's go to verse 30. Now the Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel on the mountain Ebal, As Moses, the servant of the Lord, have commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of a whole stone, of which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered it on it a burnt offering to the Lord, and sacrificed a peace offering. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stone a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, and stood on either side of the ark before the priests and Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The strangers, some of your translations say they mixed breed. That means they are the people who came. They are not the Israeli people. They adopt the Israeli custom, Israeli religion, and they came out of the Egypt together with this Israeli people. Where am I? A stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. As Moses, servant of the Lord, has commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the word of the law, blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the woman, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Let's take a look at the map. Here's the Jordan River. It's a Dead Sea. They just crossed this and they attacked this Jericho. From Jericho, Ai is right here. Bethel is right here. So they went across. They are going across this land. Remember that this is a strategy, good strategy. So they can conquer the south. They can conquer the north. This is cutting the land of Canaan in half. From here, they went straight up about 30 miles to the Shechem. Shechem, one side is Mount Ebal, and the other side is Gerizim. People divided, the tribe of Israel were divided in half, six tribes on one side, the other side, six tribes. And officers and Levites, the Ark of Covenant was in the bottom of the valley. It's like a natural amphitheater, so the voice can carry all over. And they stood there, and they start in the midst of the military action. Joshua stopped the military action, went all the way up to, can you imagine traveling 30 miles with 2 million people? That takes a long time. And went up there, and they start to read the Word of God, the law of God. What's the purpose of that? Because Joshua realized these people need a recommitment. They made a commitment when they got out of the Egypt, but they need to make a commitment again to God. After the victory of Ai, he made a trip. This is according to what Moses told Joshua to do. According to Exodus chapter 25, it was said, and Exodus 20:25 says that when they built an altar, they should not use any iron tool to fashion this altar. What's the reason? What's wrong with having a nice altar? Nothing wrong with having a nice altar in our mindset. But in God's eyes, that should not be. It should be natural stone. That way it does not distract us from glory of God to the design of the altar. You with me? Sacrifice should not be something man-made, but sacrifice something God produced, the blood. There's only one way that we can satisfy the God for our sin, is sacrifice. During the Old Testament time, it was covered. The blood just covered our sin. When the New Testament came, there was ultimate sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice. it didn't cover our sin, but it wiped away all the sins. So that's where God is telling us to do not make a hand-fashioned altar, but just bring the altar made out of stone from the ground. So no one can take the glory away from God himself. Priest would offer the burnt offering, which is total commitment, and peace offering, thanking God for the goodness of God. You can find all of that in Leviticus chapter 1 through 5. When we go to the Leviticus, we'll find that more in detail. At the beginning of my Christian life, and I used to think of Leviticus and Book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, forget it, I'm not going there, it's a boring book. Little I knew. Leviticus is this job description of Jesus Christ. Book of Numbers is telling us how intriguing this scripture is. And Deuter, in Greek, Hebrew word, repeating. Deuteronomy is a law, repeating the law. So Deuteronomy is kind of summarizing everything happened Moses, by Moses. And he's telling from the beginning and to the end of their Exodus trip. It's a great book for us to study. I'm looking forward to it. This one side, Mount Ebal, and the other side, Gerizim. And Gerizim means in Hebrew words, the blessings, mount of blessings. Mount Ebal means the mount of cursing. When Joshua was reading the law, when it's a blessing, this side of people from the Mount Gerizim will say amen, which means so be it. And when it's a cursing, when the people are doing the wrong things, and God will do this kind of thing, the cursing, the people on the Mount of Ebal, six tribes, will answer with amen. So everybody, 2 million people, would hear the law of God and they understand the law of God. This is a process of making a commitment. This is specifically mentioned to Joshua by Moses. We can never exaggerate the importance of a Christian soldier spending time daily in the Word of God, unless daily we take the sword of the Spirit by faith. We go into battle unarmed, unprepared. It's like a Donnie going into that dope dealer's trail without a gun in his hand. That would be unprepared, unarmed. Spiritual-minded believers are victorious because they allow the Word of God to saturate their minds and heart. The Spirit using the Word controls their desires and decisions, and that is the secret of victory. Why that he's the one person who will follow God all the days of their lives, and there's another person equally smart, equally equipped, but the other person will fall into temptation just about any time. One person is equipped with the Word of God and facing the temptation, facing the trial with the Word of God in his heart. The other one, who is now equipped with the Word of God, he fails every time. One person would have said, I don't have a problem with the temptation because I give in every time. That's not even fight. Folks, as a born-again Christian, can we never get into the temptation? Yes, we can. As long as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of living God who lives in us. Remember what I said? Remember I would make an illustration? There's a hairpin curved road coming down from the mountaintop. It's a straight cliff down. We can build the clinic on the bottom. If the people fall off, we'll just hold them there. Convenient place. So should they come down in a full speed and go into the hairpin curve, and most likely they will go off the road, right? Just because we have a grace, just because we have somebody to fix us up, that doesn't mean we can just sin against God every time we feel like. Go down the curb with a caution. There's a panel. Guess who put that panel in our lives? Caution, it says. Holy Spirit. When you sin against God, when I sin against God, there's a little voice telling us, this is not right. Have you ever heard that? How many times did you ignore that? Few times, thank you. Stupid of me. We sin against God. Even though there's a little voice telling us not to do it, we say, yeah, whatever, and then, zoom. What happened? Whee! Of course, God fixes us up, take care of us, and put us back on the road. And there's another next helping curve. What are we going to do? Slow down? Be cautious? Or are you going to step on it? Spirit, truly mind believers are victorious because they allow the Word of God to saturate their heart. That is why I emphasize daily devotion, having the Word of God in front of our eyes all the time. I'm not talking about literally. I'm not asking you to walk around like this all the time. You're going to bonk your face into the light pole. How can we ever do the will of God when we neglect the Word of God daily? Folks, doing the will of God is... Let me rephrase that. Having a Word of God in our heart is part of doing will of God. Let me repeat it one more time. Having a Word of God in our heart daily is a part of doing will of God. Let's make an application. Number one, no matter what kind of mistake or sin we may cause, the worst one would be the not returning back to God. Do you agree? God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. God always give His best to those who leave the choice with Him. When we run ahead of the Lord, we usually rob ourselves and hurt those who are around us. Third application. To know God's will is a treasure to us, but to do God's will is a privilege for us. Don't think that it's something God automatically gives to us. Doing God's will, to know the God's will is treasure to us. Doing God's will is a privilege to us. Lastly, doing the will of God requires feeding our spirit with the Word daily. Not every other day, not every other week, not weekly, not monthly. I have none of you who are in this place. Well, in a way, I'm preaching to a choir, because if you are willing to come to the third midweek service, that means you are studying the Word most likely at home of your own. Doing the will of God requires feeding our spirit with His Word daily. Let's pray. Lord, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In Christ's name, amen.